Oh, feeling good? How's everyone doing on a Monday? It's beautiful sunshine outside. We're going to have nice warmer weather throughout the rest of this week. Looking good. We're going to have a football game Thursday night where the weather's going to be so nice, I might even have to blow up the screen outside, which I was not planning on doing, Joe. Yeah. It's a nice one out there.
It's nice to think I had to defrost the car this morning. I actually started it when walking the dog, so it would heat up a little bit. And by Thursday, 70 degrees outside. Looking forward to that. Bad weekend. Well, bad game yesterday. You know, feeling a little down from the game.
So why does everyone have the long face? That's what I was wondering. Look at how beautiful it is.
To have the warm weather is a very nice. I will take that. So I'm looking forward to it. You know, I think tomorrow we might have to retire the button-down shirt for some shorts and flip-flops tomorrow to celebrate.
I mean, that's
warm temperatures in
wild
October.
Switch. It is still going to be 50 degrees when you come to work.
All right. Well, you know what? I'll wear the Adidas pants and I'll rip them off when it gets above 50.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I don't know. You said bad weekend.
Bad game. I had a great weekend. Bad game.
Bills lost. Guess what? To everyone who started watching them 3 years ago, this happens. This looked like every game for, you know, such a long period of time.
But see, this...
That was Tom Brady out there in the last drive.
But I was going to say, this is, take me back 10 years ago, I would have the same reaction today because I'd be saying, they were in it. They were in the game and they lost it. You know, I mean, either edition of the Buffalo Bills, I would probably have the same feeling I have today just because of the closeness of the game.
I find myself in a happier place after a loss like this.
I'm glad you can do that.
I just like everyone's like moping around. I mentioned to Aaron earlier this morning. We were shopping yesterday. We're in Wegmans. You're watching everyone all decked out in Bills gear and like moping around the store and whatnot. And you know, okay, I was happier after this and happier this morning because, see, the thing about that kind of loss, I think it really sets up the rest of the year to be more enjoyable. You know what's not fun to me? And well, I don't have these expectations to begin with, but I think a lot of people do, where everyone's talking Super Bowl or bust, or like we have to make it to the AFC Championship game, or we're making it to the Super Bowl or else this year just stinks. And like that to me, if you have that expectation, that nothing's enjoyable until that point. And then when you lose, like it's this big, oh, this team stinks, like this is terrible. And then when you win, even if you blow a team out, you're just kind of there like, yeah, well, that's what I expected them to do. You know, good thing. Like there's no excitement in it. And I like, you know, a game like yesterday, it's a nice little recalibration of expectations. And now the rest of the season, all right, like they're 4-3. They're not out of it at all. I mean, they could still win the division.
They control their own destiny. I keep saying that.
You know, just win games and beat the Dolphins and, you know, beat the Jets again would be nice. They're not out of it. They're right in the thick of it. I think it makes it just a lot more interesting where you don't know what to expect. Like, you're not going into a game being like, oh, we should definitely win this. Like, most people would have been the last 2 weeks. And you have these results the last 2 weeks and it's like, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't have that expectation on it. And when you don't have sky-high expectations, this is just my, like, way of thinking of it. We don't put like the sky high expectations on things. I think it is a lot more enjoyable. So before the season, I just think it's unrealistic, borderline ridiculous to on any team, even the Chiefs this year. I think it's unrealistic to put the expectation on like, oh, they have to win the Super Bowl or make it to the Super Bowl in a game where the playoffs are a single game elimination. Right, like anything can happen in any given game, right on any given Sunday. It's just like the movie, where to say in a single elimination tournament, whether it's football or I have this argument with people watching soccer all the time with the World Cup or some of these tournaments, like anything can happen in one game. To me, it's just like crazy to think, oh, well, we're definitely going to advance this far. Like, I don't know. To me, just make it there and we'll see what happens. And hopefully we'll have fun along the way. And now I think people are a little more ready to have fun. It's not now these tight games are, I feel like you're watching them with people and it's like, all right, like, come on, like we can do this. So the tight games like the Jacksonville game, this Giants game, this game yesterday, if you're watching it with a group of people, were you thinking like, all right, come on, like we got this? Or was everybody just like, ah, these guys stink, like the entire time in the second half?
For me, I mean, the whole time I was going, yeah, they'll come back. They're going to come back and win this. That was my mindset. I wasn't saying we stink. I still don't think the Bills stink.
You hit a slump. You might have been like, ah, you know, they'll come back and win this. But no one was like, you know, like, come on. Like, no one was into the game. Everyone was disappointed at the game.
Yeah, I mean, let me tell you this. Anyone who says Super Bowl or bust, I mean, then just find something else to do on Sunday. I don't like that mindset. I'm in it one game at a time. But you're right. I think the way the offense came out flat against the Giants, I don't think people are expecting to see that for a third game in a row. But, you know, it happens. But I will take a point with what you said. I do think now, hey, who knows? You can't go into, after the last three games, you can't go into any game this season going, oh, they're going to blow them out of the water. You know what I mean? Like, hey, take it one game at a time. Baker Mayfield on Thursday. Let's see what they can do.
Yeah. Well, anyways, that's how you... It's how you go about the next. I think people have a different set of expectation. I think people are going to enjoy actually watching the games more.
I think so.
Like coming up.
And, you know, fair weather fans, well, we'll see you in December.
I like the next Patriots game now is no longer, oh, yeah, we'll just roll them over.
No.
Right? It's like, all right, we got to pay them back. Like the Broncos won last week. We play them in a couple weeks. Are we all just thinking like, oh, automatic win? I don't think anyone's like going in, you know, no, saying I'm not going to be happy unless we win 50-0. This game Thursday, Tampa's not that good, but you know, last
anything
couple of
happen.
Weeks, I don't know. People are now invested a little bit.
Maybe the team's going into it that way too. Maybe that's the problem. Ah, we're going to blow them out by 50.
Yeah,
they didn't go into the Miami game that way, and look how they played. I mean, it's just that's what's the most surprising to me is like, you know, and again, Miami. Are they for real? Who knows? They haven't beaten a team with a winning record. But, you know, everyone was, this is the Bills get exposed, the Bills get exposed. They win by 28 points. Since that game, every game since then, all the pundits are saying, oh, Bills got this. And they've all been either close or losses. It's just very interesting. It's very interesting. But I don't think anyone can say, Brian Thursday, win by 30 points. Not one person can say that after the last three games.
But they might.
Oh,
okay. Right?
Like, they might. But they I wouldn't predict that.
No, but I don't know. I think it makes it interesting. Yeah, the warm weather. It has me thinking, like, what
exactly
play into
Tampa's
day?
Might play into Tampa's favor.
They're used to it. But it's going to be really nice. And by the way, tickets, for some reason, got a lot cheaper in the last 24 hours if you're looking to go on a primetime. I think this is the lowest-priced home game. Not that there's been a lot of home games, but lowest-priced home game of the year on the secondary market. Under $100. So you have not been able to go see a Bills game under $100, you know, this early in the year for a couple of years now.
No.
So there you go. And especially in primetime.
Primetime, warm weather, hopefully a win.
It's still a lot of money. Yeah. $75 or whatever it is, but it's less than it was. Anyways, so there you have it. Bills will roll on Thursday night, upcoming game. Joe, we weren't together last week.
I missed you.
At about this time, we were talking about this crash on the 290, kind of sorting through information, and we knew that there weren't life-threatening injuries, and we were all kind of relieved. And then over the weekend, we got like a lot more information of what exactly happened, you know, all the ins and outs of this. And there's just a couple things on this bus accident that are just kind of really sticking with me. And the first is the reaction from people in Western New York who were, I would imagine, who watched this accident unfold, pulled over, and help to lift the bus and get the aid out from underneath. Now, I don't know exactly how this happened. You know, I don't know if they literally were lifting the bus or were able to lift, you know, a part of something or what exactly happened. But about 12 people pulled over, Joe, and helped to get this bus aid out to where she's now has serious injuries at ECMC, but might not have been able to make it there had it not been for unbelievable work from just people who saw this horrific accident. And I'm just thinking, like, that it's just crazy to me to think that people saw this, had like the wherewithal to go. Everyone likes to think that you would do the same thing, but to have the wherewithal to be like, wow, like, what's going on? To pull over, you know, what's your first reaction? Like, your first reaction is just like, make sure you're not going to get involved in some like big chain reaction car wreck, because right. That could easily happen on any highway where there's a lot of traffic that time of day. So get yourself out of danger. And then you might be like, whew, you know, like that's the only thing on your mind. And then like, I hope everyone's all right. But people did that, then pulled off, saw that there might be, you know, some, well, obviously there would be some sort of people in peril. And then would think to lift a part of the bus up and then grab enough people to be able to make that happen. It's just an amazing story to me, Joe.
Yeah, it's again, it's another example of City of Good Neighbors, Western New Yorkers. We hear about it in the winter a lot. But, you know, Brian, I've been asking myself that question. Would I have pulled over if I had seen, you know, you imagine you see the bus has rolled over. You do see people on the side of the road. I'd like to think that I would pull over and help in any way that I can. But the fact that 12 people did, and let's say it could have pretty much saved this person's life. It's very heartwarming.
So I never liked that show, What Would You Do? I always thought it was like a little, I don't know, it's like entrapment of people.
It's like Boiling Point. I love those shows.
It's like unsuspecting people, and you put them in ridiculous situations and then like catch them on hidden. I know, it felt like a little dirty to me.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But this is kind of like a What Would You Do situation. So we're going to ask a few questions here throughout the hour on WBEN. 803-0930 to give us a call. 803-0930. To give us a call and let us know. Like, the first off is, what would you do? And I think, Joe, if I'm answering this honestly, I feel like I would have stopped, right? I would have stopped to help these other people who were, but would I have been the first one? Like, that to me is the question. Like, if I saw other people stopping and, you know, trying to assist, I think I would have been right there with them and pulled off alongside. But would you be the first person to do it? I don't know, like, what would be going through my head at that point to be the first person to pull off on the side of the road after seeing everything kind of happen, you know, if you were right in the middle of it, and think to go and try and get some other people with you to lift this bus up.
Yeah, I like you, Brian. I'd like to think that, oh my gosh, I'd stop and help in any way I can. But, I mean, we've seen stuff on the side of the road before, right? Again, I've never seen a school bus on the side of the road. I'd like to think that I would act
different. Yeah, it's a bit different, right?
You know, usually you look over, oh, I hope they're okay, and keep on driving. I would like to think with a school bus that no matter what, I'm getting on the shoulder, and I'm going to at least make sure everything's okay, right? Maybe that's been there for 10, you know, for 20 minutes. I don't know. I want to make sure that everything's okay. I'd like to think that. Again, not being in that situation, I can't 100% say that I would actually get over and do it. I'd like to think that I would.
So, like, why it's amazing to me is you put yourself in a normal mindset. Like, we all like to think that we would. But if, you know, say you said that maybe it's been there for 20 minutes. I think a lot of people have the, like, oh, well, that's been taken care of, right? Like, yeah. If you've seen it there for a while, like, you're like, someone else is on that. Or if you've, again, going back, if you were right in the middle of it, if you've saw everything happen, there's so much else going through your mind, you know, making sure you don't get in your own accident and swerving out of the way, and then you're going past and you're like, whoa, like, that was a close one. I mean, you might be 3 miles down the road before it would ever occur to you to be that. So just amazing to me that so many, like, when you hear of 12 different drivers having the wherewithal to do that, that's incredible to me.
Yeah, and again, not seeing a police car, I do think would put the urgency in my head.
The other part of this, Joe, is something, and we were hearing about it this morning, seatbelts on school buses. And I was so interested in this because when I saw the images that we were posting here of the accident, it was the first thought in my mind. When you see a school bus tipped over or anything like that, and you might have even seen sometimes the bus cameras, they'll, you know, play them on the news where it's involved in some accident or a rollover and nobody's wearing a seatbelt inside, and everyone kind of goes like flying out, and it's the first thing I think of is, oh, nobody's wearing a seatbelt. What happens to everybody who's on board that bus. And it is just like the first thing that I thought of is you're on a school bus or really any bus. I have never once in my life riding a school bus or, you know, a bus during the summer on a vacation field trip, you know, whatever. You're on that type of vehicle. I have never once worn a seatbelt. And maybe more surprising to me than that, I have never once been told to wear a seatbelt while on the bus. And so, like, that part to me is, as I take a step back, you never think of it when you're a kid riding the bus or you're on one of these things ever. Not only have I never worn one, I've never even been told that it might be an option, right? Like, that it's never suggested as a good idea to do. And isn't that kind of wild?
Yeah. I mean, it's been a long time. I was not on school buses much in school, right? Elementary school a few times, but and for sporting events. I mean, I remember when we were kids, Brian, there were school buses that didn't have seatbelts at all. Like, the option wasn't even there, which now is crazy. But I never remember being asked to wear a seatbelt, being known there's a seatbelt there. No big sign in the front of the school bus, don't forget seatbelt. And you would think, I mean, again, the bus is going to have children, it's going to have people on, and if something like this happens, that's a big space to be rolling around in. You would think, hey, strap that belt, let's put the lights on like in the airplane.
Yeah.
Before,
so I can't, you say you don't remember a sign, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't even tell you if my buses had seatbelts or not, because it just like wasn't in. I think I remember a couple having seatbelts.
I remember first and second grade, because that's when I would take a bus to school every day, and there were buses that had no seatbelts.
But
it's crazy.
It wouldn't register to me if they did or didn't, because they were just never used by anybody.
No.
Like my entire, you know, however many years, kindergarten to 12th grade, riding the bus, I just have never had a seatbelt. And I guess the question out there to people is, did you, you know, put on a seatbelt while riding the bus? Do you ever remember one? And why not? Like, when you really, like, sit back to think about it, why on this one particular vehicle is it just okay to ride a bus? Like, it's just drilled into your head, buckle up, click it or ticket.
Yeah.
Everywhere. But on this one particular vehicle, nah, whatever.
Yeah, you would think, like, the school bus driver, many times I got yelled at for yelling things out the window or trying to put paper airplanes out the window, but you never had buckle up, hey, make sure you put the seatbelt on. And, you know, that is something that, hey, if you are, you know, wherever in the car, buckle up, make sure that thing is fast and make sure that thing is tight. Oh, on the bus, just make sure you're sitting down.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Like,
school bus, could you please just sit down?
Sit down. And then it made it even more so because you remember there was the horrific limo accident.
Yes.
This is now going 5 or so years back in the Albany area. And legislation was passed requiring limousines, party buses, things that fit into that category to have seatbelts. And you were supposed to, as passengers, wear the seatbelt all across New York State. You have to wear your seatbelt when traveling in that vehicle. Now, I don't know exactly if people do or, you know, how following that law, but it is a law that was put on the books. And I'm thinking a lot of these buses are the same vehicles used to take kids to and from school. Same type of bus, you know, set up differently inside. But you know, there's no ice chest on the school bus. But it's the same type of vehicle, and the law would exist for if it's being used as a limo and it doesn't exist if it's being used for school. And I just don't know what the sense of that is. And should it change? 803-0930, BMAS and Beamer on WBEN. Back here, Brian Mazeroski, Joe Beamer on WBEN. Hope everyone had a nice weekend. Looking nice out there right now. We've been talking about the bus accident last Friday and just some of the things coming out of it that are just incredible to me to really think about. One is the Good Samaritans who jumped out, about a dozen people going to help, going through so much to like having the wherewithal to think that you could even lift up part of the school bus to, you know, with a bunch of people's help to help somebody out. Incredible story. Way to go. What would you do then? Do you think you would have the wherewithal to help out in that situation? 803-0930. And then the other question we're asking is on a seatbelt. Now, I was amazed to learn that the five children who were on this bus were all wearing a seatbelt. And thankful, because I saw the images from last week, and the first thing I thought was that I don't know how you would be thrown around in this bus, because you never wear a seatbelt on a school bus.
I was going to say, I wouldn't have been wearing a, you know, school-age Joe Beamer would not have been wearing a seatbelt.
Kindergarten through 12th grade, anywhere in between.
This is my freedom.
Whether you were going to school, whether you were going on a field trip, you were in a summer camp on a bus, you're in any situation on a bus. Where else? You're going to a Bills game on a bus.
Yeah.
You're, you know, I've done, you've done like bus tours of breweries and stuff. You're on a bus. You're never wearing a seatbelt. And not only are you never wearing a seatbelt, you're never told to wear, in my experience, I've never once been told to wear a seatbelt on a bus. And I don't know, if you sit down and think about it, like we don't think twice about it. You just sit on the bus and whatever, it's fine. Why that is the exception to the rule where we're told to wear a seatbelt in every other vehicle that we're in is kind of nuts when you really think about it.
Yeah, when I heard this bus accident on Friday, Brian, I immediately thought, well, I'm sure by now the rule is you have to be wearing a seatbelt. And again, happy that the kids on the bus were wearing a seatbelt. But I just don't. We're talking about, for the most part, on a school bus, we're talking children. And I am surprised that that is not in New York State, in the country, a law. You've got to be buckled up in your car. You've got to be buckled up, as Brian said, according to the state, on a limo bus. But you don't have to be on a school bus. I just don't understand why that is the one we leave off when we're talking about click it or ticket.
Now, on our textbook, 803-0930, if you want to weigh in here, I'd be also interested to know if you've ever been told to wear a seatbelt on a bus, or if you did, let me know. 803-0930, why this is the exception to the rule. Someone texting in can only imagine for the bus driver trying to get kids to fasten a seatbelt on a bus. The only way it would work if it was like an automatic bus, like at an amusement park. Now, I know in saying this, you're just like in a car, right? You're not going to get everybody, like, there's not going to be 100% compliance. Like, not everybody's going to wear a seatbelt. But shouldn't you at least tell kids to do it? Right? Like, I'm not naive in thinking that, like, oh, okay, now all of a sudden everyone's going to start wearing a seatbelt. But wouldn't you want to start, like, just encouraging that in the minds of kids? I would have to. I was trying to think back. Friday, we started talking about this. I was trying to think back and putting myself like, oh, my first time on a bus. I really can't remember it. But I'm imagining it would have been like very foreign to me to go on to the vehicle and not put a seatbelt on and like see everyone else not wearing the seatbelt. Because up until then, it's just been drilled into your brain. You go in the car. I think of my own kids, like, don't touch your seatbelt. Like, keep it on. You don't mess around with it when you're in there. It has to be buckled before we get going in the car. Like, it's just drilled into your head. It's second nature. It would be like no big deal to walk onto that bus. But because you're not told to do it, or I mean, kind of told the opposite just by what everyone else is doing, you don't do it for whatever reason.
No, I remember on the school bus, the biggest problem was, Brian, don't stand up. Make sure you're seated. Never a seatbelt. Just make sure you're not walking around. Make sure you're seated. Mm-hmm. Nothing about the seatbelt. I'm thinking about in elementary school, we had these big glass doors, right? And that's where you'd have the number of the bus that you were waiting to go home on. And there was a big sign, no food on the bus. That was what they told the elementary students. No food on the bus. I think we could replace that sign with make sure your seatbelt's on. Just a reminder, an encouragement to the kids getting on the bus that, hey, those seatbelts, don't sit on the seatbelt. Put the seatbelt on you, and let's be safe.
Yeah. Again, I'm not trying to be naive in suggesting this.
Well, no, of course.
And I'm not saying that you're going to pull over a school bus now, right? And like
ticket the kindergartner?
Yeah, like ticket, you know, the six-year-old who's not wearing a seatbelt, like go up and down the aisle, right? Like that's not going to happen, but just putting out that reminder or putting it in the heads like, hey, put on your seatbelt. A lot of these buses do have bus aides who, you know, when you get onto the bus, hey, put on your seatbelt. Like, if you're just told to do it, I think you probably immediately get 75% compliance, right?
Yes.
And I think that's a conservative estimate. You probably get around that many people just saying, okay, let's click it up. Someone else, are you supposed to wear transportation on public or a seatbelt on public transportation like a public bus? Again, I've never worn a seatbelt on the bus.
I don't think they have seatbelts on the public bus.
Any bus. Like any bus, I could not tell you if they do or don't. It just has never occurred to me to put it on.
Also on the public bus, there are a lot of things to hold on to. I'm just saying, like you can hold on to a bar in front of you. You can stand and hold a bar. But I mean, again, with a school bus, we are talking about the safety of children. And I don't see the big deal with encouraging seatbelts, making sure. I mean, on the airplane, they walk 8 times by you to make sure that your seatbelt's on. I don't know. If there's an 8 on the bus, one walk up and down the aisle before you take off?
I'm not trying to say that I have all the answers here because I want to hear from people on this. And a couple of people have texted in to the text board. Someone saying, we bus drivers. So if you're a bus driver and there's an answer for this, I want to hear this isn't.
Yeah.
We've been told seatbelts on a large bus is unsafe and a small bus would be different. Again, I would like a little bit more of an explanation as to why that's the case. And then somebody else saying, I drive a school bus. It's been explained to me that 45 students in a seatbelt is a huge hazard if the bus is on fire. But then they say, I'm not sure if the odds are greater of a fire or an accident. Like, I feel like I have an idea what the odds are greater of. Like, a school bus accident, we hear about all the time. A school bus fire? I don't think I've ever heard Alan mention it, like, on the traffic report. I hear school bus accident in some, you know, fender bender, whatever it is, at least once a week.
Yeah, I mean, in 2 minutes, the whole bus is engulfed. I mean, that is, if that's
yeah,
the
and
issue,
again, click.
Maybe that's something, or maybe that's something we should be addressing. Why can a bus be engulfed?
Well, these new electric buses, you saw the ones that they can't put on the road anymore.
I mean, I don't want to put anyone in harm's way, right? I don't want to say, well, it's more likely to have an accident, so have the seatbelt on. If the bus catches on fire, oh well. But then maybe we should be addressing the one thing so it's not so you're not taking a risk one way or the other when it comes to your seatbelt.
And is it a risk? Again, I'm asking because it seems intuitively crazy like to me that this one, it seems like a riskier vehicle than a car. Let's get airbags and like all this other stuff to keep you safe in a car. Like it would seem like a riskier. Maybe it's not. Please let me know. 803-0930. We'll go to Teresa in Buffalo. Teresa, you're on WBEN. What's going on? Maybe not.
I thought maybe Teresa was on the construction zone, because when she was on, it sounded closer to us.
Yeah, the rumbling underneath.
But, and again, if we're wrong, I'd like to know. I'm glad that we have a few school bus drivers reaching out, because I don't know the reasoning why. But like I said, I do think if it's, we don't want to pick accident or fire. Okay, but are children safe either way? Like, I don't want to get in the situation. I hope that's not the situation on buses now where, we think this is more likely, so we're going to prepare for this. And if the other happens, we'll have to, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want it to be that kind of situation on a school bus.
Again, if there's a reason for it, you also don't want to run into the situation, right, where it's, all this, you see this all the time, knee-jerk reaction from a lawmaker.
Yes, the 198.
Why don't we have seatbelts on school buses? Boom, next thing you know, next week there's a law. Everyone has to, and maybe it's not the right thing to do.
Right.
For whatever reason.
Yes, of course.
Somebody on our, let's see, couple of texts coming in. When traveling in Europe, this is the second one of these that have come in. The tour guide always reminds passengers to use their seatbelts, and people do it. So that would be different than here. Somebody else, large seat backs help restrain students. Smaller school buses would require seatbelts because they wouldn't have large seat backs.
Restrain students even in a rollover incident? Like if this was a...
That to me is the incident that we saw on Friday is kind of basically what I'm thinking about.
Yes.
And I'm thinking about the videos I've seen from like the inside school bus video from previous rollover incidents.
Yep.
Where people are going flying, and I can't help but think, like, this is, how is this more safe? We'll try Teresa again. Teresa in Buffalo, you're on WBEN.
Good morning. I am a retired teacher from Head Start. Every time we had a field trip scheduled for our children, we insisted that the buses were equipped with seat belts and our children would be seat belted in for the field trips.
Okay. Did anybody tell you to do that? Why or why not or anything like that?
It was part of the policy for Head Start.
Okay.
And we made sure that those buses were equipped with seatbelts.
So all buses have seatbelts, or you had to make sure? So there are buses in the fleet that don't have seatbelts?
Yes, there's buses in the fleet that don't have seatbelts.
Okay. Hey, Teresa, thank you.
We ordered our buses for our field trips. We ordered the buses and made sure that they had the seatbelts equipped.
Yeah, you got to give me two of the belt buses. Teresa, thank you. We'll go to, this is what I want to hear, Becky in Cheektowaga. Becky, you're a bus driver?
Yes, I'm a school bus driver. I've been driving for 30 years.
Okay.
First of all, I'd like to say on all special needs buses, there are harnesses and seatbelts for those children. Even wheelchair children, there are special seat belts to lock in the wheelchairs, and there's straps on the floor connected to the floor to strap them in. We do have seat belts on all big buses. I don't know what that other lady was talking about. We do have seat belts on all big buses. Children are not required to wear them because in the case of an accident, a severe accident, or a fire, per se, little children will panic. Kindergarten, first grade, second grade, they will panic. They will not be able to get their seatbelts off. They will not be able to get out of the seat in time. A school bus can go up in flames in 3 minutes flat. And so it was the decision was made years ago, many, many years ago, that it would be elective, that they could choose to wear a seatbelt or not wear a seatbelt for their safety. Accidents with buses, you know, we had issues where someone's pulling out of a driveway and they hit the side of a bus or they hit the back of a bus. And, you know, the kids might get a little jolt, but not enough to throw them out of their seats. They are immediately checked. So the bus doesn't move in an accident. The driver doesn't move the bus. Nobody moves the bus. The police are called. The emergency staff is called. Principal comes out to the bus. The nurse from the school. The supervisor from the bus company comes out. Everyone checks those children out thoroughly. If they need medical assistance, then it's taken care of from there. But for children to wear a seatbelt in case of a fire on the bus or a severe accident, they will panic and they will perish. And there's only one bus driver on the bus for anywhere from 69 to 73 children. And I would be responsible for getting each and every one of those children off that bus safely. And I would do my darndest to do that. But like I said, when you have a panicky child, it slows things down.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand people want seatbelts, but unless you drive a bus and you really understand children and how things work, it's not really a good idea to make them wear them.
I thank you, Becky, because you see, it seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? But that you're giving a reason where it seems like somebody kind of thought this out a little bit, especially when it comes to younger kids.
Well, I think there was a fire on a bus years and years ago, maybe even 35, 40 years ago, where students were wearing a seatbelt and some of them did not make it out. And that's when the determination was made that it's elective for them. So we cannot, as bus drivers, we cannot make them wear seatbelts. We can't tell them to put their seatbelts on. If their parent tells them they want them to wear them, then they wear them. But, like I said, a bus, people don't realize a bus can go up in flames in 3 minutes flat. So my objective is to get every single child off that bus safely, and I can't do that if I have panicking children who are stuck in their seatbelts.
Makes sense. Hey, Becky, thanks so much for the insight.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a good day now.
You too. There you go. Becky driving a school bus, telling us why it just doesn't seem, right? Like, yeah. It seems so counterintuitive. That explanation kind of makes sense, right? If you're getting into a serious accident, kids would be freaking out a little bit, and the school or the seatbelt might slow things down.
That's why you want the experts, and that's why we put the call out there, and Becky called.
I wonder how they look at that. You know, like what kind of simulation or something like that could they look? The one thing she said is right. Have you ever been in a school bus accident?
No.
Oh, one time we were riding the bus to school, and it got... I don't know if the bus rear-ended someone or the bus got rear-ended. One of the two. But, you know, exactly as the caller there just said, felt a little... I mean, you would have barely noticed it.
Yeah.
If it weren't for our bus driver freaking out. I mean, it was like, it was that kind of thing. And we were... had to go, you know, we were staying late, you know, late obviously to get there because you had to stay at the scene of the accident, even if I couldn't really tell if it was, didn't look serious at all.
Say, the bus was probably able to do the afternoon pickup.
Oh, yeah, the bus was fine. In a bus versus sedan, school bus wins.
Yeah.
But, you know, late, they filed you in, you had to all go wait in the hallway, talk to the school nurse after, they check you out, you know. Let us know, like ever. And, you know, just a minor little bump. I hadn't quite figured out, like, how to fake the whiplash or something like that to get a settlement. But
should have learned from Josh Allen.
The school bus flop, it didn't work. But, yeah, you're checked out by absolutely everybody.
So I was never in a school bus accident. I was on a bus where the door flew off while driving down the 90 from Albany to Buffalo on a student government trip. So this wasn't a school bus, just a... but the door just flew off, didn't open or anything, just flew off as we were driving back from a student government meeting in Albany. Had to miss the Sabres game that night, but pulled over on the side of the road. Went to finally got to go to one of those rest stops and hung out there for 6 hours while they got us a new bus. That was my bus incident.
I'm thinking more about the caller and the explanation, and I get it. I would like to know just that. How you make that determination of, you know, who's involved in making that determination that, you know, one is going to be more dangerous or provide more of a benefit than the other, right? Yeah. Like, that is a... Do you have, like, mathematicians on that? Like, to figure out the statistical probability of one happening versus the other?
But regardless, I don't care if it's 99-1. I just don't feel safe saying, well, it's a better chance that this happens, so blank. To me, that's just not okay.
Well, yeah, someone has to, if you're going to make the policy, right? Like, somebody has to do that, and that's what they've gone with. And it makes
sense.
Still
makes me uncomfortable.
It makes sense. And then yes. I will still say, walking in and seeing everyone on the bus without a seatbelt, that still doesn't make sense to me. Like, it both does and doesn't at the same time.
Exactly.
But that's why you have hopefully, very smart people making that decision. All right. Do you feel any better about the Bills, Joe?
I feel the same I felt. You know, the Bills every year, I mean...
I was hoping I'd brighten up everyone's...
The Bills lost to... The Bills gave Urban Meyer his only NFL win. And and the Bills still had a great season. So, you know what? In my book. So, you know what? It's a loss. Whatever. Beat Baker Mayfield. Let's go.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just excited for the weather on Thursday.
I love what you said. Too many people don't forget 10 years ago. I remember all too vividly 10 years ago.
Let's enjoy. I mean, it's going to be a nice day. And then if they win, that's great.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's better than going in like... I'd rather go in like that than saying, if they don't win, I'm going to be PO'd.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's, to me, that's a better attitude to have going into, and I think we're all kind of mentally there after the last 2 weeks.
And everyone will be happy. You know, the Bills will win. They don't have to listen to me on Friday. I mean, just back-to-back positives for everyone on Friday.
All right. We'll be back here tomorrow. B-Maz and Beamer on WBEN.